Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
What's happening? Let's go. TK and Tierney coming to you live for the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studio. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. TK and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, Sirius XM 206. And much to the chagrin of many people who were pointing to baseball and its system economically as being broken, it's not as the brightest star. Obviously, you know, you can make a case if it's not Tim, it's Bryce Harper, flip him, whatever. But the biggest free agent star agrees to the biggest team contract in North American sporting history at $300 million. It's a great day for baseball.
Yeah, free agency-wise, it is a great day for baseball. Obviously, people remember Giancarlo Stanton's bigger deal, but that was not technically a free agent. This is the biggest free agent since Alex Rodriguez. His $275 million deal with the New York Yankees, which worked out for the New York Yankees.
Yeah.
Ultimately,
he figured
out how to play in the postseason, and they won a championship.
That's right,
so
2009.
It worked out for everyone. Hit a few milestones, got in trouble, got suspended.
Got suspended, got pinched, lied to Francesa, lied to LaFace.
But ultimately turned out to be a pretty decent guy. Yeah. Good guy right now.
Packaged himself differently.
Agreed.
Finally learned how to function like a normal person.
Exactly.
And actually be the kind of good guy that I think we all think that he is.
Exactly.
A-Rod's doing all right for himself.
Thanks to Ron,
like A-Rod.
Thanks to Ron Berkowitz.
Berk reshaped them.
But when I
whatever A-Rod's paying Berk, it's not enough. Really,
agree.
It's not.
But think about what this does. What will happen to the San Diego Padres now that they have Manny Machado?
Mm-hmm.
He's a really good player. We know that. He's a like a stallion. He plays every game. He played every game
stallion.
Last year. Which was awesome. I don't know. I just can't think of another word. He played every game. He was all horse. Didn't get hurt. He was available even though he went through a trade and ultimately ended up out with the Dodgers and played in the World Series and didn't have a great World Series, but he's there. He's available. And when I think about what he was looking for, he was looking for money. Obviously, this is with $300 million. I think he's also looking for relevancy, which I'm not sure he got, and a chance to win a championship. Now, BT, you follow baseball much deeper than I do, but I just went through not a dive, but it was just a cursory glance at the record of the San Diego Padres.
It's been rough.
It has been really
rough.
You
got
to go back to 2010. I was like, wait, when was the last winning season? Got to back to 2010 when Adrian Gonzalez was hitting 32 home runs and getting 100 RBIs when they won 90 games. I don't even think they made the postseason that year because the wild card wasn't around. But this is the record over the last. This is going backwards order. 66 wins last year, 71, 68, 74, 77, 76. 70, it's all 70. 70. Mm-hmm. And you get 90 in there back in 2010. I think Manny Machado may have gotten the monetary reward that he deserves. Like, this is a justified number for him. We've been talking about it for a while, and Bryce Harper should be even more. He got the money he deserved. I just think that he's going to find himself in irrelevancy. There's just not that big of a boost that one guy can provide for a team. And the Padres, I know they got Eric Hosmer last year. He had like 250.
Mm-hmm.
And 15 home runs or something like that.
8 years, 140 mil.
It's a big number.
Oh, he'll be better this year, by the way.
I hope so.
And he's a glue guy, good fielder, good clubhouse guy for the young guys they have coming in the pipeline.
Will Myers
is among the best prospects
in baseball.
Will Myers
is also there.
He's
had a little bit of a transient fielding world of a situation over the last couple of years. All over the map.
Started with the Rays.
He
was an Uber prospect coming up.
Absolutely was. Third baseman. He goes to first last year. But
outfield.
Then Hosmer comes. So he's got to move back to the outfield. And he's all over the place right now. So I look at the roster and I don't love it. And I think this is fantastic for Manny Machado. But at some point, I think he might be unfulfilled because he's not going to find the success that I think a lot of stars ultimately want to find in their careers.
Okay. The one thing that I've kind of stopped doing is trying to read players' minds. You know, it's funny. You
it's
know,
a good point.
You know what I mean? Like, we get on the air and we can say, and you just rip through a bunch of listless seasons, so you're not making that up. You're not pulling that up out of thin air. Padres have been dormant, irrelevant. They've been terrible.
Yep.
So, yes, in at least on the surface, you know, and not boring people with the minor league aspect. I don't want to waste time on that.
Yep.
Trust me, take my word for it. It's among the best in baseball. They've got a few players coming up who are ready, and I do think the timing is actually pretty good for Machado to be in the middle eventually of a San Diego baseball renaissance. But I don't know if Manny Machado's motivated to win a championship. I don't know. I mean, just because you're good enough to make it. Now, I'm not going to say that he's not.
But don't you think the Padres are, I mean, what would be the Padres got to want?
What's their motivation?
Yeah.
Well, here's why I think it's a great move. And I'm not just saying this like for like this is not a hyperbolic statement. I think this is a great day for baseball. Not good. I think this is great
because of all the negativity that had been hanging around and the fact baseball is broken and all those other things that we've been talking about.
The economic system's not broken.
Yeah.
It's paramount that we get that because we've been here for 2 months saying, you know, it's basically become a punchline throwaway as we transition to Antonio Brown or Beckham or the All-Star game or whatever other topic we hit on the show. Baseball's not broken. All right. The best or second best free agent. And by the way, statistically, Machado's actually better than Harper.
Mm-hmm.
What I would contend and still will submit, I believe, and I've said this all year, I think that Harper's more of an attraction at the box office. So in terms of turning that investment and monetizing it a little bit quicker, I think people might be more compelled to pay money to watch Harper than Machado. But whatever.
Yeah.
One of the top two free agent available players just got $300 million. It's not broken, number one. And number two,
agreed. They have money to spend.
Yes.
That's the point to that statement.
Yes, but it's not like it's the Dodgers, forget about it, they had them. It's not the Yankees or the Red Sox or one of these teams with exorbitant deep pockets and seemingly limitless budgets that are coming up and saving baseball. It's the Padres.
Yeah.
So I think that this really sheds a light on the health of the sport. I think the health, the sport is incredibly healthy. And the other thing, listen, here's in a very, this applies to every sport, but we've seen it more so in baseball. All right. The two things that you never want to do, contractually speaking, is pay somebody exorbitant money when they're not ready.
Yep.
Okay. Before they're due.
Yep.
Although with arbitration, it's easy to avoid
that. That's hard to happen.
Happens more in the NBA, et cetera. No doubt about that. Baseball's kind of got some safeguards to prevent that, which is actually good for the economic model. But secondarily here, you just don't want to pay for percentages of past accomplishments with other teams, okay? You don't want to have this albatross of a contract that weighs you down like A-Rod. His second, even though he won the championship and tour and was right in the middle of that, A-Rod was 32 years of age when he signed for 10 years with the Yankees in 2008. That's dangerous territory, especially for a guy that took juice.
That part of the equation for Major League Baseball, I believe, is gone. That's not happening.
But that's what I'm saying.
I agree.
This is the complete antithesis,
I'm agreeing with you. I'm just staying a tangent. That's not happening anymore.
No, those days are over.
They're done.
Those days are over. Albert Pujols was 32 years of age when he got $240 million back in 2012. You know, a slow-footed, flat-footed, thick-legged middle infielder. You just knew that that wasn't going to translate. And listen, Pujols still pops 20-something home runs, but they're wasting money. Cano, when he signed a couple of years ago, when Jay-Z got him that, and Roc Nation, 31 years of age back in 2014. Even David Price a couple of years back had just turned 30 when he signed that big contract with the Red Sox. And David Price pitched 3 years at Vanderbilt, so it's not like he came from high school, so he's got a lot of innings and a lot of miles.
Yeah.
And even
but David Price paid off. I mean, for the Boston Red Sox, he paid off.
I guess. I don't know how happy he is there.
He's not. He's not, but he picked up his option, so, I mean, he stayed.
He picked up his option because he just read the room and he saw nobody else is getting anything. He better keep every penny he's got.
Was he the MVP of the World Series? I can't remember now.
No, I don't think he was the MVP. Wasn't it? It's funny. I don't even pay attention to that stuff like I used to.
I don't remember.
The MVP, whatever. Who cares?
But I know that he had a great World Series, and so it paid off for the Red Sox to spend the money on a David Price, even though it was with fits and starts and frustrations. And
he had to reverse that narrative. The Yankees owned him, and his postseason legend was horrific.
He was fighting with the broadcasters. The broadcasters. With Dennis
Eckersley. I mean, he had Fortnite.
Carpal
tunnel syndrome from playing Fortnite. Listen, I really do like this, okay? And the other thing you have to look at is with the Chargers now gone, you've got to factor this into the financial mindset slash template, which a new template for the Padres here. They are now the only show in town.
Yes.
Act like it.
Yeah, you're right.
I like it. I mean, I like it. He's 26 years old.
I agree. For the most part, I agree with you, BT. But the San Diego Chargers don't have a pedigree of winning.
The Padres.
What did I say? Whatever.
Chargers.
I think I said Chargers.
I got you.
But the Padres don't have the pedigree of winning. It's not like the Red Sox.
No, they don't. No.
It's not like the Yankees.
But it's not like really anybody in baseball.
Any of these teams that have spent money. That are spending a ton of money. Because let's not forget, Will Myers is not on the cheap, right? Obviously, Eric Hosmer is not on the cheap either. And now you have Manny Machado. And are they going to be ultimately successful?
Not this year. They're not.
Win?
No.
You look at the Mariners are the most obvious example. You mentioned the Robinson Gano signing. They signed him for 10 years, $240 million, expecting, you know, there's going to be a boost. There's going to be a resurgence. We're going to push into the postseason. They won 71 games that year before. They peaked this year at 89 games.
When he was suspended.
Exactly. And he ultimately is out. They pieced him out and sent him to the Mets.
Now he's the Mets.
So five years into the deal. Granted, he was 31. He's not 26.
And that's a huge deal. Just entering your prime versus just exiting your prime in baseball terms.
He spent a lot of it already.
Yeah.
His prime years already.
Listen, Teague, I can't quantify and I can't identify the exact number. But the contract that Cano, even, you know, others like Mickey, you know, although he resigned with the Tigers when a couple of years back.
Yeah.
But Cano specifically, when the Seattle Mariners signed him, they were paying, I would say, roughly. Now he's a Met. Now the Mets will pay for this a little bit. Mm-hmm. But 30% of what he did for the Yankees?
Yeah.
I mean, that's just terrible business.
Yeah,
it's stupidity.
No, there's no doubt about it.
The Padres aren't doing that. And listen, if Manny's not happy and Manny's irrelevant and the Padres suck, which, by the way, they won't, he can opt out in five years.
And again, I don't think he's going to be unhappy. I think he's got a number in his pocket right now that just it's fabulous.
Can't be happy with $300 million.
And he's working towards something. But, I mean, maybe
in San Diego, maybe, no less.
I'm not talking about Manny. There. I'm not talking about him personally.
No, I know you're not.
Because Manny Machado is living the dream right now.
He's doing all right for himself.
He's got $300 million, really guaranteed if he wants it, sitting in his pocket.
Yep.
He's living in the most beautiful part of America, I think, in San Diego.
It's up there,
the
short
weather's pretty damn perfect.
Uh-huh.
They're playing baseball. You know these. I said
beautiful ballpark,
every
too.
Every time I go to a baseball game, I'm like, man, look how pristine that field is. Man, look at this weather. It's like,
God, I wish I was better than I was. God, I miss playing baseball.
Look, Manny Machado. He's got a one.
Manny's all right.
But ultimately, I wonder, does this actually help the San Diego Padres become a better? I hope it does.
They can't be worse.
Because I can see him falling into a non-conversation. And I hate that.
Yeah.
Because he's such a good player.
Mm-hmm.
And he's interesting because he's got a little bit of an edge to him.
Yeah, little charisma, a little bite.
But some of it controversial as well. So there's depth to the character of Manny Machado.
Yeah.
I don't want him to be in San Diego and just disappear from our baseball mindset. Consciousness.
And listen, Teague, I know it's a different world. I get that. But in a lot of ways, this should actually even make it even better. You know, Tony Gwynn, may he rest in peace. Mm-hmm. I mean, Tony Gwynn was at the tip of everybody's tongue
He was exceptional.
It's totally different player, clearly. But even when they had Ken Caminiti, even when they had Kevin Brown, that's a team that got swept. You know, we talked about Bruce Bochy yesterday. Bruce was the skipper of that team that got to the World Series and got swept by the great Yankees team back in 98. That Padres, even when I was a kid, you know, the team that got to the World Series in 84 against the Tigers.
Yeah.
And those Tigers started 35-5 that year with Trammell and Whitaker and Jack Morris and all. They were phenomenal. Lance Parrish behind the dish. I believe Chet Lemon was in the outfield. They were sick. I don't think market matters anymore.
It doesn't.
Why does it really matter?
But I'm talking more
especially with social media.
But BT, I'm talking about success. I am talking about market. There is a West Coast, East Coast bias and bias against the. We know that. That's just true. It just is what it is.
You know,
right?
I don't agree with that.
The only way you.
Mitigate that?
Yeah, you mitigate it is if you're really good and if you win.
Mm-hmm.
And one player can do it in the NBA.
Yep.
I don't know if one player can do it.
No, he can't. I'm not going to argue that point. And that's a sound fundamental approach. One player doesn't do it.
I agree.
Otherwise, Ernie Banks would have been in 10 World Series.
There's been none. The Padres are spending a lot of money right now.
All right.
And I don't know if it's making them better.
This guy Haterade.
A little
coffee, go to Starbucks, I'll have a venti, a little shot of espresso with my Haterade. Come on, man. Every day now we get on the air. I used to be Mr. Point of Contention.
I don't like
the All-Star game. I don't like the dunk contest. I don't like Manny Machado going to the. What do you like anymore?
I can just see
UVA.
They do have
nice win last night,
by the way. Yes,
nice win.
Because they don't win down there all the time.
That was a big one for you.
Virginia Tech, big win for UVA and Blacksburg. The AAF is in San Diego now.
I know
it's the fleet.
So
the
we got listen, the market's popping.
Look, I love this for Manny Machado.
That sounds like absolutely detested.
I'm just worried that it's not going to make them a better franchise.
Well, you know what? Let's ask our audience. Let's throw it out there a little bit. Let's talk some baseball. And the next question is, what does this mean for Bryce? What does this mean for Bryce Harper? 1-855-212-4227. I honestly believe it's great for baseball. I believe it's great for the Padres. Teak, a little lukewarm. We gave you our reasons. What do you think? We'll get some calls and we'll react to this coming up next right here on Teaky and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
The right hire can really have an impact on your business. I remember when we hired Fathuzio, finding the right person to do the job was of the utmost importance. Now, you can post your jobs to job boards and hope that you'll find the right person. But think about it. How often do you yourself check job boards? 9 out of 10 LinkedIn members are open to new opportunities, and yet most are not visiting job boards. So you can only reach them on LinkedIn. LinkedIn Jobs intelligently targets potential candidates based on insights from their behavior on LinkedIn and rich profile data you can't find on a resume, like their skills, recommendations, interests, even how open they are to new opportunities like yours. So your job gets in front of the right people all the time. That's why a new hire is made every 10 seconds using LinkedIn. LinkedIn, it's the best way to find the person who will help you grow your business. Hurry to LinkedIn.com/Tiki and get $50 off your first job post now. That's LinkedIn.com/Tiki, T-I-K-I, to save $50. LinkedIn.com/Tiki. Terms and conditions apply.
Okay, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 855-212-4227. Brought to you by Geico. Hey, everybody, quick way to save a little money. Switch to Geico. Homeowners, renters, motorcycle insurance, get it all. Geico.com. Now, here's what I don't get. You know, you hear people complain all the time about this monster financial disparity between the haves and the have-nots.
Yes.
Every sport has it.
You're right.
There's this big schism. There's this big gap, this different set of rules, in essence. And here we have little tiny San Diego coming up with a $300 million check for a player who just turned 26, is borderline great, is just entering his prime, and it's a bad move.
I don't think it's a bad move.
That's what I'm hearing driving in.
Oh, yeah.
What are you kidding
me? Their payroll still is not exorbitant.
No, it's not.
It's still, 115 40, or so?
115, that's it?
Yeah, I think
it was more than that. But
it's crazy.
Is it, Mike? 115?
So they were at 80 before they signed Machado.
Yeah, there you go. And they can spread that signing bonus out however they want.
They can defer
money on the back end, blah, blah, blah.
Which is interestingly making people speculate that maybe they have room to bring Bryce Harper as well. Now, there's no way that would happen.
That would stun me. There's no way that's going
to
happen.
But if the Padres are truly looking to be, like, we're grabbing relevancy. We're just, I don't care who thinks they have it, we're taking it. That's how you do it. They have the room to do it, technically. I don't know if it's a smart idea.
That would be fiscally irresponsible. You know, if the Phillies were going to latch on to both players and there was a sentiment going into the hot stove that...
Because of the size of the market and the...
They're a little... they're a lot closer to winning. Although if you add Machado and you add Harper, you know, and you have Hosmer...
Yeah, the problem is their staff. It's like...
Tatis coming up. Yeah, the staff isn't that... You know, I'd have to look a little closer at their staff, to be honest, but... you know, Renfro's out there, hit 20-something home runs, hit 240. You know, talked about Myers a little bit. A couple of catchers are decent. You know, there's no way that's going to happen. But I'd like to see what Bryce Harper's going to sign for now. And it's funny, I don't know if we ridicule them, but we certainly question their approach and their reluctance to jump into a deal. You know, they come out winners. Now they're going to have to accelerate their move and get to whatever, you know, wherever Bryce is going. We know where
you're talking about
Manny's
the Nationals.
Going now. Well, no, I'm talking about the players
now.
Oh,
the players, yeah.
Like, you know, I mean, Harper, let's say Harper signs Thursday, you know, and we'll have John Heyman coming up later in the show. He'll tell us, get a sense of when that might happen. But you would imagine now Boris really goes to work. He's got the number. Here's Machado's deal. Give me 48 hours or so to pump up an extra 10, 12, 15, 20 mil, whatever he does, maybe 5, 10 million. He's going to get more than Machado. Let's say he signs Thursday or Friday. You know, it's almost March 1st.
I know.
You know, he's got to find, I guess they throw him at a hotel for a week or so, but logistically, that is not an ideal way to start a baseball. Now, you know, basketball's different, but baseball, you know, I used to hate it, where we would go, and I'm not comparing myself to these guys, please, but it's you got to look at it somehow this way. We would go, you know, you don't play during the winter. You don't play baseball.
No.
You're not, you know, like you go shoot hoops. You're not going to play baseball in the winter, hit off a tee, whatever. But the first time we would get in the cage with guys throwing live, even if it's only 87, 88, you just felt so unnerved. Like you felt, like you just felt like you hadn't seen that kind of stuff in a while. And the possibility exists that Machado and Bryce Harper really languish and get off to really bad starts because they're working from a compressed time frame.
Yeah, I mean, they've probably been doing other things, other types of workouts, but it's different when there's a process to it.
Oh, I'm not saying they're going to come out of shape, weight-wise.
No, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about just hitting. Like, there's a place for me to go, right? There's a process that I can follow. I leave my house. I go get my coffee.
The routine.
I go get a bagel. I go to the gym at the facility. Mm-hmm. I get in the cage. I'm doing whatever I'm doing. They can't do that. I mean, they can do it intermittently wherever they are. But here's the difference. I think what mitigates it a little bit, BT, is it just like with Manny Machado, like he's established now, at least for the foreseeable future in San Diego. So he's got time. I know like there's an urgency to get settled and buy a house and figure out where you're going to live. And he's got time to do that or someone to do it for him. And I think the same thing will happen with Bryce Harper. I think it's a minor thing. It can be a big thing, but I think it's a minor thing. I think the bigger issue is finding out, you know, who I am, like in this clubhouse. Right? It's hard to walk into a new clubhouse. I never had to do it. I had to do it one time. That was when I got drafted. Mm-hmm. Came to the Giants. You walk in, like, all right, where's my locker?
Yeah.
Where do I sit? Who am I going to be friends with? What's my role?
Yeah.
You know, how loud can I be? How should I be quiet? Like, what are you?
Yeah.
Like, that's hard to figure out. It's intimidating. And it takes time.
Also depends on your personality.
True.
Some guys just naturally walk in, they own a room. Some guys blend in.
I think Manny can walk in to any and he'll be like,
no,
hey, what's up,
but guys? I think Bryce could do that.
I don't feel like Bryce is always quieter. I don't know. Just my perception is he carries himself differently than Manny Machado. I don't know why. Maybe it's because he smiles and he doesn't.
Bryce?
Yeah.
I think Bryce carries himself in a way that, and we've seen some Nats take some shots about fundamentals. Yeah. There was a story about that yesterday.
Yeah.
That their fundamentals would improve without Bryce. Yeah, I mean, I am a little surprised with the Padres here, but I think it's good. You know, it's an interesting market and there's no guarantee it works, but you got to try, man. I mean, they've had all these assets in terms of draft equity. The other great thing is that they don't owe the Dodgers a compensatory pick.
Yeah.
They don't owe them. And a lot of times you have to do that when you sign a top-tier free agent. So I think that's good. I think there's one misnomer here is that, and I saw Sam about this before the show, looking up some of the numbers. Like, you know, so Petco Park opened up in 2004, right? And that
15 years old.
Yeah, already. Yeah. And a good trivia question. Who did the first game at Petco? Actually, Ack, you might know the answer to this. No, you don't.
Do not.
Go back
Sorry.
To that, Ack. Who was the first voice to call the game at Petco Park?
Who was it?
It was actually my old radio partner, Mike Crispino.
Oh,
he was doing a San Diego State baseball game.
And that was
that. That was the, yeah, before
San Diego
the Padres. And I believe Tony Gwynn was the skipper.
That's interesting.
I know he was at San Diego State. I think he had started there already. But that first year, they had over 3 million people. And, you know, there's this association with a lack of attendance or markets that just aren't overly vibrant. You know, the Marlins, they're a disaster. Tampa's situation is horrific.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Pittsburgh spiked, and now they're going back down. They kind of strip it away. McCutcheon's obviously gone. They were back down to 18,000 people a game. Baltimore, Oakland, and the White Sox this past year were 19,000 on the average. Cincinnati, Kansas City, Detroit, Cleveland, Minnesota, and Texas were all low to mid-20s. I just mentioned a lot of teams, and the Padres, despite being terrible, had a higher per-game attendance than all those teams I just mentioned.
Yeah, so if there's increasing talent, meaning...
Which there is.
Which obviously there is. Hosmer, who's a World Series champion. Machado, who's a star. Will Myers, who...
No, the young kids are where they're going to really come up.
But I'm talking about names you know. A lot of those young kids may turn out to be fantastic. Renfro, you mentioned, et cetera. But we don't know them yet. Mm-hmm. Maybe locally you know them. But that's to get people to the ballpark, and it's beautiful out there.
Yeah.
There's nothing like going to a game when it's perfect weather.
Oh man, I haven't been to Petco, but I was at the old Murph where they used to play with the Chargers played, and we went to the doubleheader. And this is when I was living in Vegas. We drove into San Diego, meet a few of my boys, and we got $5 tickets. We sat behind home plate. And in the top deck, and we just got tray. We had probably like 7 or 8 beers, just kept slugging them back, right? And then it was adult. And then the next day, we had some flea bag motel, went out all night. And then I was young. And then the next day, we went and we sat in right field with the palm trees, and they played a doubleheader against the Braves, Glavin, Maddox, and Smoltz, and those guys. It's just a beautiful city. I mean, San Diego's incredible. So we'll see. You know, we're not going to do this for 3 hours, Machado signs, but it is interesting that, you know, I would leave it with this if you're just tuning in. I think it was very inaccurate, although I understood why it was being positioned this way for a minute. You know, the health of baseball, the economic direction of baseball, it's not broken. Guy just got $300 million by the Padres.
Yeah.
Seems like it's okay to me.
Yeah, it's there.
You know?
Just owners aren't willing to flippantly spend it anymore.
Mm-hmm. That's true. We've got inbounds, out of bounds coming up next. A little something on Kyler Murray, a little something on the Alliance, a little something on NBA free agency, future Nick Kevin Durant. What? A little something on the Lakers and LeBron and how they should play moving forward the rest of this year, which is a very interesting conversation / debate. So we've got that after Axe update. John Heyman, hour number 2. We'll get to the Antonio Brown stuff. Let's face it, AB looks like he's going, you know, I don't know if he's going off the deep end, but he's going to a part of the room that's getting a little dark. You know, not good.
I'll save for this.
Yeah, me too.
It reminds me of another mercurial, crazy-ish wide receiver that we used to talk about all the time.
Oof. Well, it doesn't sound good.
He sat in that seat about 3 months
ago. I know who you're talking about. Okay, I got you. Axe update coming at you right now. Here's Rich. All right, inbounds, out of bounds coming up here on this Tuesday. Tiki and Tierney. First up, though, time for the game plan for success, sponsored by Napa. As we take a look at a team doing their thing and obviously resulting in success. After giving up 78 points on Saturday to Iowa State, Big 12 leading Kansas State went back to the chalkboard and tightened up a few things on the defensive end, made a statement in Morgantown. As they beat West Virginia at their own game, the turnover battle, Mountaineers are really down, but still really down, but still a tough place to play. That's not an easy spot to win. Kansas State forced 15 turnovers, held the Mountaineers to 35% shooting, and they won 65-51 last night after just having a 2-point lead at the half, so they were able to pull away, get a little separation. Napa Auto Parts has the expertise and parts you need to help you keep your car on the road no matter how many miles it has. Quality parts, helpful people, that is Napa know-how. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, Sirius XM 206 here. Next hour, we're going hard. We're going deep on Antonio Brown, trying to figure out what in the world is happening and what's next. Because it seems like, I don't know, it's just a guess here. But if you pull back that curtain too much, I don't know if I want to keep seeing where he's going.
No,
It's getting a little weird.
It's getting odd. It's getting...
Erratic. Irrational.
Desperate.
Yeah.
All those descriptions not becoming of arguably the best wide receiver in the NFL.
True. Yeah. Well said. I mean, his agent might want to step in at some point. Just saying it's probably not good for leverage on the open market as they try to facilitate a trade. Okay, Tink, you ready for inbounds, out of bounds, buddy?
Yeah, let's get to it.
Let's go.
Anything can happen in sports and often does. What's right? What's wrong? And who's just crazy? We decide. Inbounds and out of bounds now. With Tiki and Tierney.
I'm the football Heisman Trophy winner Kyler Murray prepping for the combine a little later on this month. And the draft, of course, coming up in April. Now, Murray told reporters he wasn't sure whether or not he'd throw at the combine or just at his pro day. He said that the last time he ran the 40, he clocked it at 4.3 and said he's faster now than he was at that time.
Wow.
Wow. Really? So he's running. What's the kid Ross from Cincy? What did he run? A 4.22.
John Ross. He ran a 4.22.
It was 4.22, yeah. Right? Okay, in or out? If Murray
can't catch though.
Yeah, that's true. We can run. You may run like maze, but you hit like bleep.
Or stay healthy.
If Murray runs a 4.3 or faster 40, it will significantly change your opinion on his pro potential.
Out of bounds. Unfortunately, it's irrelevant. It doesn't matter how fast you are. Game speed and 40 speed aren't always the same. I always tell this example. Terrell Davis ran like a 4.6 or 4.7.
Is that what he ran?
Yeah, he was slow at a combine out of Georgia.
4.7.
Dexter Coakley, he's a small linebacker for the. He ran like a 4.4.
Okay.
I remember game. Dallas was visiting Denver, and he blitzed and he chased TD for 60 yards. Never caught him. Never gained a step on him. He blitzed, came free, chased him for 60 yards.
Combine speed and game speed
are two different things.
When somebody's sniffing the end zone.
Agreed.
Out of bounds as well. I agree. Just because I don't think it really matters at this point whether he runs a 4.3, a 4.29, or a 4.35.
Mm-hmm.
Unless it's an elite quarterback on a blitz, who's going to be able to catch him?
You're right.
Nobody on the D-line. No linebackers are running 4.3 neighborhoods.
Nope.
So, and those safeties are running 4.3s. Right. Otherwise, they'd be corners.
Yeah. The only thing it's going to do is it's going to force, as a defensive coordinator, I got to blitz a speed guy. I got to blitz a corner.
Mm-hmm.
But that kind of leaves you exposed sometimes.
Right down at the seam, end, a little wheel route for running back, whatever it might be. It opens up the playbook. I agree. I want to see him make some throws here. That's what I want to see. And I want to see him measure up. Now, I'd be disappointed if he doesn't throw at the combine because...
Well, it's not going to matter, per se.
No, I know, but just my own
ability to... Just to witness it.
Yeah, I want to see how he looks.
I hear you.
I want to see... How's it spinning? I know it's going to spin hard and it's going to spin fast, but I want to see it.
Yeah, the one thing that we need to learn about Kyler Murray, we're not going to find out at the combine. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, right?
Can he throw over?
Can he throw over big, tall, 6'5 to 6'7 defensive linemen or defensive ends? And then most importantly, can he read multiple reads? Now, it's trending away from having to get three or four reads in, but at Oklahoma, he was a one-read guy.
Mm-hmm.
He was... See my guy, if he's there, ball's going. If not, I'm tucking it, I'm taking off. That's why he had 700 yards and all his rushing touchdowns as well as 42 passing touchdowns. It's just a different game.
Yep.
And we're not going to find that out at the combine.
He's fast. We already know that.
Agreed.
Can he make the throws? I think he could do that as well.
I do too.
And by the way, I've said he's going one or two, so whether he runs a 4.3, whatever, I think unless he bombs at the combine and he comes in at 5.7, which he's not because we've met him a few times, he's going
He'll
top five.
He'll come in at 5.10 and teams will love his personality.
Mm-hmm.
He can be a leader on my team.
Haskins, too. Haskins' personality is better.
He feels younger, Haskins.
He feels more engaging, too.
He is much younger, and he feels it, but he is absolutely more engaging.
Yeah, he's cool. He was great on our show.
Giants.
Are you in or are you out?
Giants. The Lions has seen positive results in the first couple of weeks in attendance. TV viewership's been good. Reception's been great. But a report surfaced that the league was close to not making payroll after this week's action and needed a $250 million investment from Carolina Hurricanes owner Tom Dundon to help keep things running. Now, the Alliance has refuted this, all right, and they're saying that they've been looking to add a majority investor all along, and this was all part of the plan. In or out, you are more confident in the future of the Alliance now than you were before the start of the season.
Out of bounds, because I was very confident at the start of the season, and I know that a lot of people will look at what has befallen a lot of these spring leagues, which is a lack of financing, a lack of revenues or consistent revenues, or more importantly, explosive revenues. And they'll say these leagues have no chance. But I think that Charlie, for a lot of this, was we're going to build it and then the investment's going to come. It wasn't we're going to get our investment and then we're going to build it. And so week one was important because it proved the success, potential success, not success, but potential success of the league, which was something he needed or the league needed in order to bring in more investors. Because let's not forget, this isn't like some of these other leagues. They're not individual teams owned by individual people. The league owns the entirety of the league. So they own all the teams as well, which is much more capital expensive.
So week one to me, you ever go camping, Teak?
Yeah.
I went once. Oh, yeah. Boy, it was awesome, too.
I loved it.
I want to go camping again.
I loved it. I was only like 17, though.
Although, don't you think going camping with the kids is a little different than going camping with your buddies?
Oh, yeah.
Plowing through beers in the woods and having a great time.
Oh, yeah.
I could see it being, you know, pure hell going camping with the kids.
It would be.
unless
they're like 12.
Exactly. Oh, at this age. There's no way we're going this age. I look at the Alliance at week one, to your point, as the first stake. Everybody's like, what is he talking about camping? The first stake that you put in the ground to serve as a reinforcement for the tent. If you don't do that properly, you can't sleep in the woods because the tent's going to just fly away and it's not going to be viable. Week one proved its viability. Listen, here's another analogy, too. When you watch the whether it's NBA TV, whatever, whether it's TNT, whether it's ESPN, you watch ABC, you watch basketball, NBA, right? And then you flip and you stumble upon a G League game.
Yeah.
The difference in ambiance and skill level, for sure, it feels depressing. It just feels there's like an athletic morbidity to it. I don't want to watch it.
Yes.
Even though the kids aren't bad players in the G League, you don't get that sense with the Alliance. The announcers pop, the venues are okay, the uniforms are pretty cool, and the style represents something that is close enough to what I'm used to on Saturdays in college, for sure, and absolutely Sundays in the NFL. So am I more confident? I am. I was confident, too. But and I like how you answered that. My answer is inbounds, though. The Alliance, I don't know about this report. I'll do a little more digging. The Alliance is off to a good start, period.
Are you in or are you out?
All right, a lot of speculation running around this summer's NBA free agency. Now, a video surfaced from All-Star Weekend to help fan the flames. The video shows Kyrie Irving and future Knick Kevin Durant having an animated conversation in the tunnel. Here we go. Yeah, we got two max, man. You want to go to the guard? We got two, not one. We got two. Oh, we got two? Oh, we're going to go make it happen, Kyrie. Here we go. Two max spots. It's time. I'm sure that's what they were saying. That's what some people actually believe that they were saying. So, in or out. You see, we got two. No, well, we got two. Hey, maybe we get rid of them. We get three. KD should team up with Kyrie wherever he chooses to play next season.
I was going to say, first of all, that was so staged.
No doubt about it. That was idiotic, actually.
Don't be fooled to think that somebody was, hey, look what I'm capturing, and nobody knows what's happening.
Come on.
Right?
Yeah, I know, right?
Don't walk in front of the camera. Let's get this perfectly clear. That was absolutely staged. But I want to say inbounds of this.
You are.
I am. I think, well, first of all, I think Kyrie needs KD. Not that KD necessarily needs Kyrie, but I think Kyrie.
Well, I think on the Knicks, they would need each other because the Knicks are horrendous.
True, but Kyrie's starting to get this, I don't know, this some doubt creeping in about his health, his sustainability, you know, his impact on his locker room. I think with those two together, they both rise, especially Kyrie with KD being his number two. Or
I'm
number
gonna say
one, I should say.
I'm going to say, pardon me, Teague, I'm going to say out of bounds here. That doesn't mean that I wouldn't love to see Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving pair up for the Knicks, but I'm answering the way it's worded. KD should team up with Kyrie wherever he chooses to go. No. See, to me, Kyrie Irving, and this is not a diss. I think it might sound like one, but it's certainly not. He's emotionally erratic, not in a way where he's unstable in terms of the law.
Yeah.
He's a cerebral type. He's a good guy, but he's odd. He's quirky. He's weird. He's a little different. He's wacky. So if I'm Kevin Durant, I'm not hitching anything to Kyrie. I'm going to make Kyrie hitch it to me. I'm the man. I'm going to the Garden. You want to join me? If not, I'll bring Kawhi Leonard with
me. That's interesting.
You know what I mean? So if I'm Kevin Durant, I can't revolve my entire offseason around what somebody who's been very flighty and changes his opinions a lot.
Yeah, agreed.
You know what I mean?
Are you in or are you out?
All right, Teak. Kyrie's former teammate, LeBron, under 500 now. Lakers, 28-29 after the first half of the season. 10th in the West and three games back. I love it. God, I hope they miss it. Of the eight-seeded Clippers. Now a report says the Lakers are, quote, privately a little concerned, end quote, about LeBron's groin injury and even his intensity the rest of the way. Now, LeBron's missed 18 games this year. It's a lot, boy. And he's logged an insane 55,000 minutes between the regular and the postseason. Mike, is that including Olympic stuff? Probably not, right? I didn't think so. Already putting him into the top 10 all time.
That's
it's
nuts.
Going to matter. Odometers are there for a reason. They matter. the in or out. The Lakers should be careful and let LeBron rest more and take it easy in the second half of the season to prepare for next season.
I'm going
to
say inbounds, BT. The Lakers aren't making the postseason. LeBron needs to start crafting what's happening next year and for the rest of his career. His 2 or 3 years left when he's still playing at a high level.
I can understand.
Inbounds, BT.
Listen, that's a logical take, but I'm going to disagree for this reason. Because of the finite window. I mean, every pro athlete has a finite window. But specific to his time with the Lakers is incredibly finite. He signed for 4 years with the opt-out possibility after three. My answer is out of bounds. Not yet. You have to put your foot on the gas, and you have to try to get that 8 seed. Yeah, you'll get demolished by the Lakers. By the Warriors. They'll toy with you, and I'll love every second of it. But they've got to at least eradicate this perception to the other free agents out there that there's an instability, that he's entering this demise. Yeah. He's got to project that I still have it. Otherwise, why would you go play with him? And getting to the playoffs will be a good step. So I say out of bounds. I hear you. It could be dangerous. You could run him into the ground, and then residually that's a factor next year adversely. But I think you got to go for the 8 spot. The Lakers.
Tune in next time for another edition of Inbounds or Out of Bounds with Tiki and Tierney.
Do it too early.
God, my arm's killing me.
Not ready for spring training.
Not even close. Those damn rope exercises. I'm still trying. I'm still plugging away.
Dude,
they're hard, bro.
You'd be jacked soon.
Yeah, right. If you do them right, they're hard.
I know it.
No cheating. Although I cheat sometimes. But I do them. Hour two coming up.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.